السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. So الحمد لله for the توفيق of Allah Ta'ala, we have completed the Quran Sharif in our Taraweeh. Tonight the last juz of the Quran was recited. And again, just picking on one or two verses that may be of benefit to us, inshallah. In Surah Al-Fajr, right at the end, Allah Ta'ala mentions, Ya أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ اِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. So according to the Mufassireen, some say that this verse pertains to the time of maut, when the malaika extracting the ruh from the body of the individual, of a pious individual, a mu'min, a believer, then this is what is said to him. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna, O contented soul. Meaning that now a person hasn't fully purified his soul. Like Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. The one who is successful is the one who purifies this nafs. So, while he's on this journey of purification, you'll find that there will still be weaknesses, shortcomings, and from time to time the person will lapse. And as they lapse, then they blame themselves. Why did you do this? Why did you give in to the desires? Why did you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This realization comes within the person. So it's the self-blaming nafs. So this is the intermediate stage. And then the final stage is an-nafsul mutmainna. That is the goal and the objective, where the nafs becomes contented, meaning that it now submits and surrenders completely. Okay, there's a car that's blocking. It's a Mercedes C200. The number plate ND131549. Number plate ND131549. Please remove this car. It's blocking someone. So we are speaking about the nafsul mutmainna, that nafs that is contented. So what does this mean? It means that it is totally contented with the deen and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, like the ulama mentioned, when it is not following the laws of Allah, when it is not following the shariat, it's like a fish out of water. It is uncomfortable. It is no longer, it is in a state of agitation. But it only finds peace when it is in the dhikr of Allah, when it is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah ta'ala mentions in another verse, Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub. It is only through the dhikr of Allah that hearts find peace and contentment. So, you'll find that people look to find contentment in many things, in material things, in wealth, in various pleasures and enjoyments of this world. But you'll find that no matter how much they have, they are never contented. If you go to doctors and particular psychologists, you'll find that many of their patients are rich people. People who have everything materially. But they still don't have contentment in their lives. Why? Because the heart will never ever find contentment until it surrenders to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until it is in a state of zikr. So Allah ta'ala tells us that it is only through the zikr of Allah that people will achieve contentment. We find that health authorities tell us today that the major or the number one illness in the world today is mental illness, mental health. People are suffering from depression, anxiety, all kinds of mental issues, psychological issues. And the reason for all of this is because people are disconnected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not in Allah's zikr, they are not in Allah's obedience. So the solution is to come into the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the aim of our mashayikh, the aim of tasawwuf, of purifying these hearts, annihilating this nafs, so that everything we do is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is known as the state of fana, the state of annihilation. Where now a person has no desire except that it is in conformity with the commands and the desires of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the murad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what is known as an-nafsul mutma'inna. That the person lives only for the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala says, what happens now when a person reaches this stage? Allah says, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. One is, it is radiyah. That it is pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means everything that comes from Allah ta'ala, there is total acceptance and pleasure. And mardiyya, it is also this person now, this individual, Allah is also pleased with him. Like it comes in another verse later on, we read in Surah Bayyina, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah ta'ala says, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. So, as long as we find that this deen, any hukum of deen, whether it's salat, whether it's zakat, whether it's fasting, we don't do it with a happy heart. We don't do it willingly. We don't do it lovingly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will find that we have not reached the goal and objective. We are not there yet. That there is a lot of work to be done to work on this heart, to bring it to that state. So whenever deen is a chore, when ibadat is a chore, then you will find that we are very far away from the goal and the objective, and we have to work towards that. For example, to make tilawat of the Quran, it should be a pleasurable experience. To read salah should be a pleasurable experience. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned wa ju'ilat qurratu aini fi salat, that the coolness of my eyes, my delight, my pleasure lies in salat. So ibadat should be a pleasurable experience. Zikr should be a pleasurable experience. Tilawat of the Quran should be a pleasurable experience. To obey Allah Ta'ala in everything that we do should be with a happy heart. It should not be that we do things grudgingly, that we accept things because we know that we have to. But it must be done with love and pleasure. So this is the objective and goal ultimately, that we have to reach this state. Because when a person reaches that state, and now at that moment when the malaika are extracting the ruh of that person, then he now gets the glad tidings from them of Jannat. He gets the glad tidings of Allah Ta'ala being pleased with them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that at that moment now, this person loves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man ahabba liqa Allah, ahabba Allah liqa'ahu, that he loves to meet Allah and Allah loves to meet him as well. So this is something that we have to try to attain. Just lastly, we'll go right to the end. The last three surahs, known as the Mu'awwidhatain, Surah Ikhlas, Falak and Nas. That Surah Ikhlas is one of the great surahs of the Qur'an. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned تَعْدِلُ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ, that it is equivalent to one-third of the Qur'an. That means the person who recites it gets the reward of reciting one-third of the Qur'an. And the ulama mentioned possibly one of the reasons for this is because this encapsulates the concept of Tawheed perfectly, and that is one of the major themes of the Qur'an, possibly one-third of the Qur'an. So this surah was revealed in response to questions posed by the mushrikeen and also by the Ahlul Kitab about who Allah is, and they asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to describe Allah Ta'ala to them. So Allah Ta'ala then revealed this verse, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, that say Allah is one. The word ahad here is not the same as wahid, where we talk about Allah being one or being alone as an ilah, to the exclusion of other gods, false gods. Here it refers to Allah Ta'ala's Zat. He is one in His Zat. So in other words, Allah la yatajazza, He is not divisible as the Christians claim that He is part of this Trinity. So there is no division in the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and also those that the group that we call the Mujassimas, that attribute, anthropomorphous, they claim that Allah Ta'ala is a physical body and there are different parts of the body, etc. So this verse rejects all of that. It is a refutation of all those false beliefs. And Allah Ta'ala, Allah is Samad, He is independent, and everything else is dependent on Him. And then Surah Falaq and Surah Nas. Now this was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know when the Jews practiced sihr on him, and he was affected to some extent. So Allah Ta'ala revealed these surahs to cure Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam of the effects of that sihr. And this, till the day of Qiyamah, will be a cure for the believers. That it will be our protection and our cure against all these forces of batil that try to affect us in whatever way, the forces of shaitan. Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِ. Every Nabi has been, these enemies of jinn and ins have been made to oppose him. And they will oppose the people of Iman and those that follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well. So everyone is going to face this challenge. And the weapon that we have against this is the Quran Sharif, and in particular these surahs. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has recommended that every morning and every evening we should recite this 3 times. And the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was that he would blow it into his hands and then rub it over his entire body. And even when he was not feeling well, when he was feeling sick, if he would have any pain or anything like that, he would also read this for shifa, and he would rub it all over his body. So this is our greatest weapon against the forces of batil, that is the Quran. And in particular these surahs, make it our duty to recite it regularly. And in some narrations, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even instructed some Sahaba to recite it after every Salat. It only takes a few minutes, 2 minutes maybe, to recite these surahs. Recite it 3 times, Surah Ikhlas, Falak and Nas. And inshallah, this will be a means of protection. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka.